Amen. You may be seated. My goodness, what a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house. It's good to see you. Glad you're here and glad that God has given us this privilege of meeting together tonight. We're going to take a look at Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. We're going to cover the entire chapter tonight. I was wondering how many ever read Psalms 119. There's a lot. No, we're not going to cover the entire chapter. We're going to talk about verse 105. Okay? As you know, we've shifted gears in our study. The study is about desiring God. I want to be closer to God. I've never been at a point where I thought, okay, that's enough. Have you? I'm as close as I want to be. I've never been at that point. Now, I don't know, maybe we get that point in heaven. I don't know. But my goal, my desire is for all of us to have that burning longing to draw near to God. To desire, to have the want to draw near to God. And that we do that in not only just desire, but we take steps to accomplish that. Steps in prayer, that we strengthen our prayer life. The more your prayer life is strengthened, the closer you will be to God. There's just no way that you can have it any other way. And now, we're going to couple that with the Word of God and a desire for the Word of God. Psalms 119. We're going to read one, well, keep your Bible open because we're not going to stop with one verse, but we're going to start with one verse tonight, okay? Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to look into your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your word. And I pray, Lord, you would speak to us through your word. That Lord, my words are not important. And that this message not be my words. That, Lord, you will speak to each individual here through your word. Father, speak, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Now, once again, I want you to understand this, the goal of this part of our study. The goal of this part of our study is for you to fall in love with the Word of God. And if you're already in love with the Word of God, the goal is to fall deeper in love with the Word of God. And preachers are preachers, right? We're a lot the same. And we can tell you all day long how you need to study, and we can beat you over the head with a Bible and say, you've got to get into the Word of God. But that's not going to do any good until you have a longing, until you have a desire, a love for the Word of God. You're not going to be consistent in the Word of God. So my goal, my desire for you is that, and my prayer for you is that God grant you that love and that desire. And if you already have that love and desire, that He grow that love and that desire in you. Now, previously up to this point, it's been all about prayer. I've talked about being still and listening for God. But I want you to understand the truth about your prayer life. You cannot have a good prayer life apart from a good Bible study life. Okay? And when I've told you to be still and know that He's God, there is great joy just to sit down and shut out the world and be still and open the Word of God and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. See, that's the idea. God, A lot of people, I think, want that magical moment where they hear this voice from God that says, hey, I want you to go to China and become a missionary. Been waiting for that, right? 99% of the time, God will speak to you through His Word. Okay? Now, I know He speaks to hearts, and He's spoken to my heart. But more times than not, when God has something to show me, He shows me in His Word. Based on, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 1. I will share Scripture with you. Verses 1 and 2. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Jesus is the Word of God. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's all about Jesus and knowing and learning of Jesus. If you want God to continually speak to you, do you want God to speak to you? Okay. He's going to do it right here through His Word. That's how He's chosen to speak. Prayer and Bible study coupled together are the two keys to intimacy with God. You're not going to have that desire. You're not going to have that fellowship if both of these are not present consistently in your life. Right? Proverbs 29:18. Turn over there with me if you would. I want to share a verse with you from there. Why is it so important that we have this prayer, Bible study time with God every day? Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, I think the King James says vision. Not sure what the other translations say, but where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Let me give you my translation. All right? Where there is no revelation, that word revelation is talking about communication with God. Now we've established the fact if you're going to have communication with God, it's going to be through the Word of God. Amen? Can we agree on that? Okay, so where there is no communication, the people go wild. That's my translation, right? They're without restraint. They make bad decisions. When we do not hear from God, we do not have guidance. When we do not have guidance, we make bad decisions. It just goes hand in hand. You want to know why somebody's going down a sinful path? They've not heard from God lately. And it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Have you seen people, good people, make really bad decisions? It's usually at a low point in their Bible study and prayer. They say, oh, I talk to God all the time. I read the Bible. No, something's missing there. Okay? You're not getting the communication. You don't have the guidance. we have more access to God today than any generation of our past. Have you looked up all the translations? Used to, when I was a young pastor, people come to me all the time, well, I just can't stand that old, or I just can't understand the these and the thous and the King James Version, And so that's when I began preaching out of the New King James Version. And I figured out that was just an excuse. It really was. It was a reason where they thought it excused them from spending time in the Word of God. You see, the reality is, today, we have the New King James, the New American Standard, the New International Version, the English Standard Version, the New Living Translation, the King James Version, and we could just go on and on. That's just a few. I could spend 30 minutes naming the translations If I had them all written down, I don't know them all, right? There's even a modern King James Version. I'm not sure what the difference there is, but we have access to the Word of God more than ever before. Yet, the world has slipped into our churches more than ever before. And the reason is because God's people are not dedicating themselves to prayer and the study of the Word of God. They're not hearing. We're not hearing from God because we're not digging into the Word. And I'm not talking about speed reading. You know? I don't have a lot of... It's good to read through the Bible. It is. I encourage it. But don't breeze through the Bible. Stop. Meditate. Muse on the Word of God. That's when you're going to hear from God. Back to where we started, right? Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's talk about lamp to my feet for a minute. What does that mean? I remember learning that scripture in Vacation Bible School. And it sounded good, but I don't really know that anybody ever taught me what that was talking about. When it says it's a lamp unto your feet... You know what a lamp is, right? It's that candle-looking light that they would carry that was fed via olive oil, you know? And the thing about a lamp, how far does a lamp reach? Not very far. It doesn't reach out there and they've got... lights today with 5,000 lumens and 10,000 lumens that'll just break open the night sky with light. But the Word of God is a lamp to your feet. It'll show you where you are right now. And that's the way you should read the Word of God. As Lord, show me what I am. Show me where I need to improve. Speak to me, Lord, through your Word. You see, I said, if you'll remember when we were talking about prayer, I said, prayer requires honesty. You got to be honest with God. Well, listen, Bible study requires honesty. You got to be honest with God. When God reveals the sin to you, you've got to say, Lord, I'm guilty. I repent. You've got to take the Bible and read the Bible from the perspective of how does it apply to me. You know, we're real good about saying, boy, I hope they heard that over there. I hope those folks in the balcony listened to that part of the message. Or I hope, you know, they really need... But when you study the Word of God, you don't study it for other folks. You study it for you. So you can say, God, show me my sin. Show me where I can do better. Show me how I can do better. Let God show you where you really are right now. And meditate. Again. You know... Biblical Bible words, muse. Do you muse? I love musing. You know what muse means, right? It means to think. If you go to an amusement park, what does the word amuse mean? Not to think. It does. It does. That's what is the not or no. Muse is to think. So it's no thinking. And I tell you, some of those roller coasters people ride, I question, are they thinking about it before they get on it? When we come to the Word of God, we've got to muse on the Word of God. Think about it. Think about it. Yes, you can have a Bible schedule, but have enough time built in there to say, what does that really mean? Get you a Bible dictionary and find out what that word really means. How it applies to you. What it can change about you. Meditate. Meditate on the Word of God. Because it'll show you where you are right now and what you need to work on. Not only will it show you where you are right now as a lamp to your feet, it will show you, it will be a light to your path. Now when you start thinking about path, you move away from your feet and you think what? You look at where you're going. You look out there where you're going to end up, right? It illuminates where you're going. You know, there are a lot of things in this life I don't do because I know where it will lead. I know the end result. There are certain things that you just know this is not going to end well. Have you ever looked at a course of action that somebody chose and you just backed up and say, watch this, this is not going to end well. You ever seen a young man say, hey y'all, watch this? Next thought into your mind is, this not going to end well. Same thing about our faith. Right? If you'll notice, you can back up and you can say, that's not going to end well. Why? Because the Bible illuminates the paths that are wrong as well as the paths that are right. It tells you repeatedly, these things, you know, certain things you're going to end up are going to destroy you. But certain things are going to bring life and joy to your life. Have you ever been in trying times and you know, you're challenged and your faith is pushed to the limit, but you had peace? You just knew, okay, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but it's going to be okay. You know where that kind of peace comes from? It's not just a blessing where God says, here you go. It's knowing the Word and what the Word says. For example, Psalms 1, one of my favorite chapters. Psalms 1:1. Here's one of those path headlights, right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay, first thing it tells me, right? I need to be careful who I'm listening to. Not to be unequally yoked like we talked about this morning just a little bit, you know. Who am I listening to? Who's my source? I don't want to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. I don't want to stand in the path or take my stand with sinners. I don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. But His delight, verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. There's that word, meditate, muse. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. There's the peace. There's the, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know God's got it all under control. There's the, okay, here's the course of my life. I want to delight in the Word of God. I want to delight in learning and knowing God through His Word. I want to meditate day and night. Why? Because it's good for me. I'm going to prosper. I'm not talking about that prosperity gospel stuff. I'm going to prosper spiritually. I'm going to have peace and joy. And even in those times of trial when it looks like the world would look at me and say, all hope's lost, I'll be able to stand and say, hope's not lost. I know where I'm going by the Word of God. But verse 4 of the same chapter also illuminates the wrong path. But the ungodly are not so. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Oh, listen. There's coming a judgment day. The good news for those who are saved is you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? Your sins are forgiven. But for those who have rejected Christ, it's, you're not forgiven. And you shall not stand in the judgment. That means, it doesn't mean that you won't stand before God in judgment. It means you will not stand when judgment is applied. You'll hear, depart from me, I never knew you. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, you read the Bible from the perspective, once again, I know I said this a while ago, but at the risk of repeating myself, I'm going to tell you again, how does this apply to me? That's why God gave it. Where do I need to improve? How can I improve? What do I need to do differently? See, when you read it from that perspective, you begin to realize that the Word of God is alive and it can change you. But you have to allot the time. You have to have daily time of prayer and Bible study. So here's the thing. Through this study on Sunday nights, I've had assignments, right? Are you ready for a new assignment? Bless your heart. We're gonna press forward in growing in the Lord. I want to do a church Bible study. Okay? A church Bible study. Not that I'm going to teach you. As a matter of fact, I have no intent of teaching any classes about this Bible study. Okay? My challenge to you is this. Read the book of John. Brother Doug, I've already read it. Read it again. But I read it last week. Read it again. It's new every time you open it. Right? And I challenge this to the Sunday night crowd because I know you're the ones that'll do it. All right? I want you to read the book of John this week. 5 chapters. 5 chapters during the week. You said, Brother Doug, don't be on a Bible schedule. I didn't say don't be on a Bible schedule. I said take the time to stop, right? 5 chapters. John. First 5 chapters. 1 through 5. Can you do that? When you read, take the time to think and to pray about what you see. Then second part, you know every assignment has 2 parts, right? I promise you, God will show you stuff this week if you will do it. I cannot spend time in the Word of God without God showing me something. Okay? So here's the challenge. 5 chapters. Take a note of what you learned, of what God spoke to. What did God reveal to you through His Word? Okay? Share it with 3 people. Share it with 3 people. You know why I say 3? Because we'll share it with our wife. I'll tell you. Honey, let me tell you what I learned. I want you to share it with more than your wife. Which is good to share with your wife. And wives with your husband. Wonderful. But we need to learn how to start talking about the Word of God. How to share the Word of God. Share it with a friend, what God shows you in conversation. Share it with your grown children, those that can understand. Share it with a stranger. But what God shows you through this study, through the first 5 chapters of John, share it with 3 people this week. Can you do that? You can do it. You see, we want to grow in the Lord. As we grow, people are going to take notice. And more importantly, as we grow, we're going to share Jesus. Right? And as we share Jesus, people will be drawn to salvation. That's why it's so important. You see, we need to get used to talking about God. We need to get used to sharing the Word of God. And we need the best way we can show people that we care is to share with them what we know. Listen, we have a jewel right here. A precious jewel. A treasure. We don't want to keep to ourselves. You know, we want to share our treasure. So join me in the challenge. Okay? Will you join me in this challenge? I'm going to do it too. You say, Brother Doug, you don't count. You're a preacher. Yes, I do count. I'm going to do it too. One last thing. Are you a child of God? The greatest news that I have for you is if you've never accepted Jesus Christ and given your life to Jesus, the great news is this. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's actually the bad news, right? It gets even worse. You're going to stand in judgment. You're going to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's even worse. Your eternity is hell. That's as bad as it gets. The good news is, Jesus died on Calvary to pay for your sin. You see, that's why we call the gospel the good news. You know what you are. But the good news is Jesus wants to transform you and change you and forgive you of your sins. And we have the promise of the Word of God, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The good news is that is everybody that's here. You don't have to be a part of a certain family. You don't have to have some kind of college degree. You don't have to go to a seminary or a religious school. You just have to turn to Jesus. That's good news. But nobody else can do it for you. It's a decision you have to make yourself. Tonight, I want you to know the joy of salvation. You see, the good news is for the child of God, we know where this road leads to. We know where we're going to end up. The Bible, the Word of God has taught us that when the child of God leaves this world, Jesus has prepared a place for him eternal in the heavens. We know where we're going. Death is just an exit off this old highway into heaven for the child of God. Do you have that assurance? If you do not, listen, I beg you. I beg you. Come. Give your heart to Jesus. Or you can stay right where you are tonight. You can bow your head where you are and you can ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to save you, and He'll do it. Then I'm going to ask you to make it public. Right? Why? Because Jesus said we should confess Him before men. If you're saved, will you say amen? There's been a wide church confession. If you're not saved, will you come for salvation tonight? Let me show you in the Word of God, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe there's another need. Whatever your spiritual need is, I'd invite you to come as we have this verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And for the glory of Your Word. That truly it illuminates what we really are. And shows us our faults and our failures. But it doesn't just leave us with our faults and failures. It shows us a better way. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Word that invites all to come to salvation. And I pray now that, Lord, for those in this service who do not know You as their personal Savior, I pray that tonight will be the night that they call upon You for salvation. Father, may we all take this challenge seriously, to diligently improve our Bible study life, which we know will improve our relationship with You. And now in this invitation, we pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?
Let's sing number 6.